In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
What did you say now?
I said now before I pressed the button.
Okay. So now
it's not that it makes any difference, okay, because we talk about my saying it every time I do it. So
I get confused. I can't see from here. You're doing secret stuff. See, when I get my computer back, I'm going to just record literally as the door opens.
Well, why not? It'd be like a sitcom.
Exactly.
You're just sitting and around, then, and then I come
the
in.
The live audience will laugh.
Clap. Yeah. When I enter, well, they probably won't.
Bless me.
I probably don't deserve a clap when I come into the door.
So, hi. Welcome.
I didn't see you there.
To the Magical. Hey, neighbor. Let me change into my cardigan. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the only podcast, the only one whose mother tried to show you all the laser crabs.
Is that the one you forgot from last time?
No. That's brand new.
You didn't even remember the one.
I've totally lost that one. Yeah. Heroin-induced haze.
And I suppose that's some reference to something that I don't know what it is.
You do know what that is. You should know what that is.
I don't think so.
Kids, look it up. Comment on the blog so that William can be reminded what that is.
You think I know?
You should know.
I should know.
You.
Because I'm 42 years old and everybody.
No, because it was tossed around in your general vicinity at a time in the past quite a lot. And I'm pretty sure you had firsthand exposure to the source material.
Really? Okay.
Pretty sure.
Don't remember.
Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, episode 30.
The Big 3-0.
The Big 3-0. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And we're 30 now.
You know, two episodes short. Wait a minute. No, four episodes short of 2 years of doing this, and we'll have our 100th episode. What are we going to do?
I'm going to get sick of you way before that, okay. I don't even know. Are you planning our 100th episode during our 30th episode?
These things need to be
at least
planned.
Let us cross 50
Well, the
first.
Thing is that we got to 30 so fast, it seems to me.
Well, in 30 weeks.
I know. It seems like...
Guess how many weeks it'll take to get to 100.
It doesn't seem like it's been that many.
It's because you don't do much.
We're almost a third of the way there is what I'm saying.
Yes.
No, that's a big deal.
I'm more fascinated by how close we are to a year.
Well, yeah, but...
That seems big to me.
Yeah, that will be significant when we have 52.
I meant to look up what 30 is. Like, you know, like 25 is silver and 10 is paper and stuff.
I don't know.
What is 30?
I have no idea.
This is our special molasses week-iversary. Because 30 is the molasses anniversary.
It's usually something decided. That you can craft things from.
Pearl? our producer in the other room is telling us it's Pearl. Either that or my wife has lost her ever-loving mind and thinks my name is Pearl. okay, this is our Pearl Weekiversary.
Weekiversary.
Which makes it sound like a newfangled feminine hygiene product, and I'm not pleased with
Is there no more Latin-y sounding word for week? You know, like anniversary, you know, comes from the Latin and,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yeah. Week comes from the Latin week.
Maybe it does come from Latin. I don't know.
Meaning.
It just doesn't sound very Latin-y.
7 days.
We should figure out what a weekly celebration would be called. A word that means weekly celebration.
Weekiversary.
No, that doesn't sound very good. It needs to sound fancier.
Anyway, as you may have gleaned from the beginning, we're still recording this on William's machine because my machine has many problems. And it was just the monitor, and we replaced the monitor, and then the graphics card was crazy, and the graphics card managed to short out the computer, short out the monitor that the repairman had it hooked to, and short out the repairman. He got a very serious shock.
Well, I'm sorry, what shorted
it? The graphics card. The graphics
card. How did it do that?
It's evil, I don't know.
Oh.
But so, he thinks, because he built the machine, he thinks that he can actually replace the graphics card, and so that's what we're trying now. Normally with laptops, that's not easy to do, but...
But there's no explanation for how the graphics card just suddenly
just old sent and crapped a jolt out of... And, oh, why that happened while he was working on it? No, I don't know the details on that one.
What's the hat?
Nobody's asked the hat, so... Email the hat. The hat will say...
Is oh, playing tricks on
the
us.
Hat prefers your...
I don't know why the hat
would
do this.
Your berry-colored Dell.
I don't know. What? You have a problem with the color of this laptop?
I didn't say that. I was just identifying it.
It's actually quite big for laptops these days, isn't it?
It is, well,
it's not thin.
It's not thick. It's wide.
It's fairly wide. So the screen is big.
But so, we're going to try that. And if that doesn't work, it's just dead. So, this time next week, we should either have my computer back or I will be a very sad panda.
Aw, sad panda.
Yes.
Maybe that's what you should be for Halloween.
A sad panda. That could be good. So, William, how was your week?
It was good. You know, I did go see Metropolis at the...
Oh, yes, yes, with the tungsten alloy thingy.
It was amazing. It was awesome to watch the film in a... 1920s restored theater. That was kind of fun
with CGI Yoda.
The orchestra consisted really only of three people, and most of the strings and horns and stuff was synthesized, but the percussion was live, and so you really, it was loud, and you really sort of got a sense that you were watching the film with a live orchestra, and so it just really had all the elements that I was really hoping it would, and it was very exciting and it was very fun, and it's a very interesting film. You know, especially taking into account that it was released in 1927. Some of the politics in it are a little naive, especially considering, you know, it was German expressionist film in 1927. You know, there were a lot of things going on then.
A little bit, yeah, stuff.
That later, you know, Fritz Lang, he really wasn't that thrilled with it later. He also felt it was sort of politically naive and that he was politically naive. The script was co-written by his wife, who later became a member of the Nazi Party, and they divorced. And
that's got to be awkward.
Even though he was raised Christian, he had some Jewish ancestry, and so he had to flee. I mean, you know, it's all very complicated. But still, it was very. If you've never seen it, I encourage you to. And see, this one had some footage in it that had been lost.
Oh.
And.
Guys behind the set pieces smoking cigarettes and stuff.
And actually, it was what they also did was where they knew other pieces. I don't know how they know this, but they must know what happened in the original. Like there are pieces that are lost, but they know what it was.
They filled it in with sock puppets.
No, they filled it in with text and said, "This is where this was happening," and then there was this. But remarkably, there was only a few seconds of that. So they seem to have most of it back, and what I thought was amazing, and I usually think this is amazing when I watch some of these old films, is how many what we call tropes now, common science fiction tropes, were like right in the very first
film. Really? Oh, wow.
Well, I mean,
that far back,
you have the mad scientist.
Well, yeah,
I mean, that really wasn't done before, and not in cinema anyway. The mad scientist trope probably began with the play that was based on Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Because
that would make sense.
In Mary Shelley's book, Victor Frankenstein isn't... if you read the book, you wouldn't recognize him as a mad scientist type of character. But the play sort of turned him into that. And I think that's probably where Fritz Lang got the inspiration for his mad scientist character. But in cinema itself, the mad scientist in Metropolis is really the first appearance of that. A robot, of course, a very convincing a robot, which I thought was very interesting. Dystopia, you know, I mean, just a lot of the things that you're used to seeing in science fiction movies, you know, there they were. It was very interesting. But I'm often really impressed by a lot of silent films. I'm a pretty big fan of the Phantom of the Opera. I thought that was very well done.
Have you ever yes.
Have you ever seen
it? With the arms, torches. Yes, I have.
Very good. And so we were there with the kids, and my goddaughter is thinking she'd like to go into film, and so she was thrilled to see it and see, you know, how filmmaking has changed over the years. I just really encourage people to see it. Actually, the new restored version of it is going to be available on DVD and Blu-ray. I think it's available now. And in the DVD or Blu-ray, actually what's accompanying the film is the original score. A German symphony, I think, is playing the original symphonic score that Fritz Lang intended to be played when it was shown in theaters. But you can get a recording of the score that they put together for the presentation I saw, the Alloy Orchestra. If you look them up, they have a website, and I think you can get that from them. And they said that they've tried it, and you can sync up their score right up to the, you know, to the Blu-ray or DVD or whatever you're playing, and you can listen to it either way. Because actually, they have Alloy Orchestra has. They had a score ready for this version before it was printed. And I think they were going to work out something where their score was going to be the one on the new DVD, but then the company that is producing the new DVD and Blu-ray, they're a German company, and they decided they wanted the original German score. So, which, you know, I guess you can't blame them for that. But it was great to be there. It was an exciting experience, and the film is really amazing. And I talked to a few other people who went who I didn't know were going, and they thought it was a great experience too. So I don't know. Actually, it is touring the United States in some places. The film is going to be in some theaters, not with this orchestra, but just playing the score that's on the Blu-ray. So if you see it in your town or whatever, I encourage you to go, whether you've ever seen it before or not. Now, you have seen Metropolis before?
Huh?
Have you seen Metropolis before?
Sorry, I can't remember a time when you were not talking about this movie.
It was great.
I long time ago. It's one of those I believe I did. I can only remember bits and pieces, so maybe I only saw bits and pieces. But I do believe a long time in the past I did see it.
Well, I thought it was great. I loved it.
I thought that you might.
You asked if I was going to dress up. I did wear a jacket and tie.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I also wore jeans, so.
God.
I know.
And like one of those early hipsters.
But yeah, it was good. My godson fell asleep in it, though.
So
I kind of had to give him a nudge.
Some of the movies are tricky. Some people, it just doesn't work for them.
Well, that and I, you know,
and he was tired.
Well, the yes, he probably was, but also the pace of the film isn't like films now, you know. The storytelling kind of is drawn out, and sometimes they'll focus on a person's, you know, over dramatic expression of surprise or glee or whatever for a really long time just to make sure the audience gets it. Mm. So, you know, it probably. You know, for a kid that likes to watch action movies and play video games, it probably plodded along, but...
Also, teenagers are assholes.
No.
So there's that.
He's not. He's a cool kid. And he was a good sport to go with us because he knew we were excited about it. Even though I don't think he really was at all, but he was very gracious. And when a teenager can be gracious, that's a good thing.
Because they're assholes.
No, they're not. But anyway, that's what happened.
That's your really, whole week?
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, we didn't really do very much of anything else except that. But it was huge.
It sounds quite enormous.
So what about your week?
My week was very active and complicated.
Active and complicated?
Yes. There's a lot going on. A lot going on at work. not at work, just things, many, many things. I saw a couple movies. I ate at a brand new restaurant I never ate at before. I bought a couple books. Remember how, well, I don't know if I told you this. So I'm thinking I'm going to read Isaac Asimov's original Foundation trilogy. Not the whole freaking thing, just the original three books.
Okay.
Mostly because I'm running this Traveler game, and someone has told me that the Foundation trilogy really is like the kind of sci-fi that the Traveler setting is kind of in, and so it's a really good sort of imagination fodder and gets the juices going and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking of picking these up, and I'm looking where I can get them, and of course there are like no bookstores left in the world.
Well, I have them.
So I'm like, well, that's no good to me now, because this week is all the United Way charity benefit thingies at work, and one of them is used book sale, and today was the last day of it, and so everything was a dollar, and so I went and looked, and I found the first two. So I picked them up for a dollar a piece. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, that's one of the first science fiction things I ever read, and it probably is still my favorite. In fact, I would include all of the robot novels, the Empire novels, you know, all together. If you want to read anything that's, you know, all the stuff that's supposed to be in continuity,
yeah,
it's like, I don't know,
12 but or some of that books. Was retroactively sort of put into continuity.
Yes, that's
stuff,
right.
But
and you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
But I loved all of it. I know, there's a lot of science fiction people that aren't huge Asimov fans.
I am not a huge Asimov fan, and so I'm hesitant here, but I want to check this out, so we'll see.
Well, I wouldn't say it was the greatest writing in the world. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't say compared to, say, Hyland or Clark or anyone like that, that it was, you know, but I like the general plot and the ideas and the world and everything. I mean, it's probably my favorite speculative fiction.
And since my computer is broken, I can't continue with Dresden Files at this point, so I'm doing this instead. Well, actually, I'm still reading the RPG, but I'm going to read the Foundation Trilogy. So that's good.
When's the last time you read it? I presume you read it.
What, the Foundation Trilogy? Mm-hmm. No, never.
Oh, well, what from him have you read?
A lot of his short stories that I had to read in school, and a novel I can't remember.
I must be one of the only people that didn't have to read a lot of stuff in school. Not even college.
Well, yeah, hillbilly school. So.
I mean, there are classics that people talk about, like, oh, yeah, everybody reads this in school, that I never read.
Generally, I've discovered there are certain ones, because, like, there's some classics that I find a big swath of people read, and then there are other ones that I haven't, but a whole bunch of other people. So it seems to be an either-or thing, unless apparently you're a hillbilly, and then they don't make you read any of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Because, like, I didn't read Wuthering Heights until college.
Well, I haven't read it at all.
But I had to read a separate piece in high school, and Johnny Tremaine, and a few different Shakespeare plays. Great Expectations.
I'm trying to remember. I didn't read any Shakespeare until college.
I read Scarlet Letter.
I don't even remember when I read Shakespeare in college.
I didn't ever have to read Moby Dick.
No, I've never read that. There's just a ton of things that I hear of people reading, and they talk about it like everybody must have read it because it was in high school or college when everybody read it.
I think it's everybody, but yeah, I think it's a William thing again. I think, in fact, around you in the same classroom, everybody had to read it, but you were in your little William bubble. So you were your universe. You didn't have to read it. It's very weird that way.
I'm just trying to remember. In my school, it was a really small school, you know. My graduating class was, you know, 32 people. And so we probably didn't have classes that other people had, but I'm pretty sure we had
math and reading.
Literature and classes. Well, I mean,
hygiene.
Well, there were certain classes that you were supposed to take if you intended to go on to a four-year college.
Well, yeah, and a lot of my reading came from being in high-level English classes.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to say. I'm sure I was in the most advanced English classes we had, and I just don't remember being assigned a lot of classic literature from, you know, novels from the 19th century or anything like that.
You were robbed.
Maybe.
Of your childhood. You should sue.
I don't even remember writing very many papers on anything.
Ugh.
But when I came to college, you'd think, Well, I'd be reading all kinds of stuff and writing lots of papers, but even when I came here, I don't remember doing it that much. Not as much as other people talk about doing.
You did a lot of drugs in your adolescence.
No, I didn't do any drugs. That's the whole thing.
Maybe you didn't know you were doing any drugs.
I couldn't possibly have just missed it. They just must not have been doing
missed
it.
Missed a year drug
use. Maybe all the schooling I had and all the teachers I had, they thought, well, someone else is having them read this, so I'm not going to have them read it.
Maybe they made a couple of assumptions about you. One, that you were incredibly stupid, and two, that you could beat the crap out of them. And so to avoid conflict, they just never assigned you any.
Those two assumptions?
Because I often make one of those.
I was going to say one out of two. That's not too bad.
Yeah, but maybe you were more physically intimidating back then.
No. The only thing anyone ever told me they assumed about me that was completely wrong and that really surprised me was someone told me that they thought I came from a wealthy family, which I, of course, didn't.
No.
My dad was a factory worker. There were five kids in our house.
But you're kind of pretentious, so... I could see that.
Well, you know, I was worried about that when they said that. Like, geez, you're saying I'm kind of a snob or something. But they insisted that wasn't it. That they, I believe what he said was I think that whatever he said, I don't remember the exact words, but it came across like, well, you know, if you come from a poor family, you don't know how to talk and you don't know how to do things.
Nice.
Like I sounded educated or something and that was equated with wealth.
I think more often people assume you're wealthy because of all your bling.
No, you see, stop saying that. They don't know
William,
that I don't
William
wear...
wears a great deal of jewelry that spells out words in rhinestones.
I don't actually at all. So he's lying, But I thought...
He has those, like, brass knuckle type rings that say love on one and hate on the other.
I thought that was interesting that... Because this... I
wouldn't
have expected...
And the piercings. Oh, my God, the piercings.
I wouldn't have expected this person to be like that, though. You know what I'm saying? To be sort of, oh, well, this person has good diction and knows a few things, so therefore they must be rich, you know? I mean, that's completely wrong.
Was this Will Smith... Did you live through 6 degrees of separation?
No.
That would have been weird. Because I think he has sex with that guy in that movie, so that would have been extra weird.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe that this guy said that, because he just didn't seem like that type, you know. But, you know, this culture is kind of like that, and in a way you can't help but think that sometimes. You know, this bias that people who come across as being educated or intelligent must come from money, and people who seem... you know, uneducated or stupid must be poor or something.
And I know some really dumb rich folk.
Well, that's kind of my point, that there's surely no actual correlation between intelligence and income or social status. Granted, people with a higher social status are going to be more likely to have a higher education level, but higher education level doesn't even guarantee higher intelligence, as we know. So, I don't know. I thought that was kind of surprising, because he was a sociologist. I figured he'd know better. Are you all right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the proper descriptive word. You're in a mood tonight. I don't know what it is.
What?
You're in a mood.
I don't feel like I'm in a mood.
I don't know what it is. You're.
What?
You got these long, nerdy things you're saying.
How's that different than any other time?
They're not usually this long or
yes,
this nerdy, I'm saying.
Maybe you just don't have as much patience for it.
No. Well, how much time has it been?
24 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's almost been entirely you, and it's almost been entirely Metropolis and you not being rich. With a little bit of a break for all of your bling and piercings.
All right, well, when you listen to it later, if you still have that opinion, fine.
God, you know how far back I am listening to this?
Well, not really.
Oh, our producer's here. Do you have something to say?
Red mask.
I know, but we don't have time. There's also Drive and Terra Nova, but we spent a lot of time on how rich William is, so I don't even know.
Sorry.
That was one of the two movies I saw.
What?
was Batman Under the Red Hood.
Oh, the animated, right?
Yes.
With Jensen Ackles as the Red Hood.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I only knew it was Neil Patrick Harris as Nightwing and Bender from Futurama as the Joker. Which just hurt my heart because it wasn't Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
It was none of the usual suspects for the voice cast. Well, I mean, and it definitely wasn't the same artist.
I've seen it. Yeah. I don't remember Joker being so different from Mark Hamill's Joker.
Yeah. For a while, I couldn't be sure. It was a little weird. And finally, I literally looked it up on IMDb while we were watching. It was John DiMaggio, the guy who plays Bender.
I thought it was pretty good. Did you like it?
I was mixed.
Well, did you actually see the comic that it was?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, and you got to remember, the only other, I think years ago I saw Phantasm or whatever, but the only other one I really have to hear was the Batman Beyond movie, Return of the Joker,
mm-hmm.
which I loved.
Oh.
I really liked that. And this, I liked the area that this movie covered. I don't necessarily think it covered it very well. I liked the subject matter. I'm not sure that their treatment of the subject matter worked too well.
Well, the original story in the comic books, they followed it fairly closely. They skipped a few things, but for the most part, they told the same story that the comic book told, really.
Yeah, it just feels like it tied up to, like, this to me really hits on the concept that, with the exception of the Joker, who's sort of a match for him, ultimately nobody is more psychotic than Batman. And this situation that exists in this movie, I think, butts up against, like, the weird psychotic compartmentalization of his mind, like, his code of behavior that is equal parts arbitrary and random and on the fly, and I thought that they wrapped it up too easily.
Yeah.
When we finally had the confrontation, I was like, yeah, that doesn't explain shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Lunatic.
Well, and in the comic books, that arc was part of a larger arc and a lot of other things going on, so...
Because that's the only thing I like about Batman. Batman's kind of an asshole, I've decided. And really the only thing I like about him is he's a psychotic. He's just completely insane.
Well, sure.
It's like he and Joker are just two peas in a pod.
No, that's right.
The only thing I like about Batman, because otherwise I think he's kind of a jerk. And also not very bright at the same time. Because that's the other thing. He's supposed to be the world's greatest detective. No, I don't really think he is.
No, I think that's been the popularity of Batman since, you know, maybe the 70s and certainly the 80s, is that it's very much a psychological story. It very much is a situation where the hero is really only a hero because he fights, you know, what we deem as bad guys.
Yeah,
you know?
He's not doing good. He just is going up against bad.
Right, and he's no less crazy.
Yes.
He's every bit as insane as they are. He just happens to be, from certain circumstances, on this side, you know, what we would consider our side of the law as opposed to their side. And he's not even always that.
Yeah.
So it's...
Which dovetails nicely with the other movie I saw this week.
Yes.
Drive.
Oh, you did see it because you were talking about...
Yes.
Seeing that.
We did finally see it. It's very complicated to say. The short version is, yeah, nobody should probably go see it.
Oh.
But it's complicated. I can tell you, it attempts very heavily to be a very arty film. There is a great deal of sort of moments of surreal direction. There's a great deal of long shots on people's faces. There's a great deal of long pauses in unusually tense dialogue. It is not an action movie, which a lot of people think it is. It is not. Some people might say it is incredibly boring, especially for a movie about a guy who drives getaway cars and has Ryan Gosling, Albert Brooks, Ron Perlman, and Bryan Cranston in it. And it is, after a certain point in the film, incredibly violent. Incredibly violent.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And you didn't like it.
I didn't like it, but I'm conflicted. I have a lot of different feelings about the movie, and ultimately I think I fall on the side of didn't like it. I have been known to get it wrong when trying to determine how my wife felt about films, even when she tells me directly. I have been known to get it wrong to such a degree that I have never been known to get it right. That being said, I believe my wife much more directly and wholeheartedly just didn't like it.
Okay. How can you get it wrong if she tells you directly?
You'd think. And yet, it's amazing. Basically, here's the deal. She tells me directly what she thought. At some point between that time and the time in which I speak of what she told me, mm-hmm. one of us has switched into an alternate reality. And so, you know, Trish Prime tells Tony Prime what she thought of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I guess probably in both ways, in one universe, Tony Prime says what Trish Prime said, and Trish sub N says, that's not right at all. Whereas in a different universe, Tony sub N says what he thought happened, and Trish Prime is like, what the hell? Where did you get that from? I'm not sure which I am, but I don't know if I'm Tony Prime or Tony sub N.
But maybe you both go back and forth all the time.
Possibly, but there's always that gap in between there, because I have gotten it wrong so many times. But I believe my wife fairly completely and straightforwardly and fairly strongly disliked the film.
Okay.
More so than me. But I still would go on the side of, yeah, you shouldn't bother.
I probably won't.
Which is sad, because we had some hopes for it. And we finally watched the premiere of Terra Nova. Or did I talk about that last week?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It was not good. But we're going to keep watching it for now.
See what happens, huh?
Because of the juggernaut that was this thing coming up and so much money put into it and so many dinosaurs and so much Steven Spielberg. We feel it. And there's a lot. They put a lot in there. So depending on which things they take and run with, it could be good or it could be crappy. So we're going to try it out for a little while. But yeah, the pilot was not good.
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova. I think that's it. How many minutes are we at now?
33.
That's a lot of minutes.
I know.
That's more minutes than weeks.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
On our 60th episode, we should have a retrospective and just dedicate a minute to each episode. Exactly a minute. We'll watch the thing.
A minute.
60 seconds to talk about each episode.
That could be a long time. What we could
That would be a very specific amount of time.
Although we could not have a show and just take our favorite minute from each show and splice them all together.
Well, that takes some editing. That takes skills that we don't have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No skills.
Yeah, keep waiting. That's how I know we've really made it, is when somebody starts doing mashups of our episodes and sending them in.
Hmm.
But I don't know that our hard hats are along those lines.
Maybe not.
I was going to threaten somebody on this podcast today. I don't remember who. Oh, but I do have a disclaimer. I have no actual knowledge of Azure Talon's homophobia or lack of homophobia. I have never met the man. We don't travel in the same circles. I have no reason to believe he's homophobic. I pulled that out of my butt. However,
why are you bringing this up?
Because I think it might have bothered him a little bit to be compared to that. I pull everything out of my butt, people. So when I call you something, I made it up. By the way, Sir Guido, dog rapist. Anyway, but Agitalin did sort of call me out on the blog. And I do need to confess to people, my name is Tony, and for about 30 years now, I have been a homophobophobe. I don't wish homophobes any specific harm. You know, I support their right to exist. They just creep me out when I'm around homophobes. Like, it just, it bothers me. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm always like, just in the back of my head, we can be having this perfectly nice conversation, and in my mind, I'm just imagining them trying to figure out if I'm gay and being weirded out by that, and that weirds me out.
Sure. And it, you know, it'd be different if they just didn't talk about it.
Yeah. If you can keep your homophobia like at home and private,
behind what, closed doors, right?
What people are afraid of in their own home is their business. Their own business. But when they start having to bring it out in public, yeah. And this does not make me popular, but I don't think they should be able to marry.
No, I agree.
I believe that.
Well, or adopt children.
Oh God, no.
Or have children.
Can they do that?
Well, yeah, there's ways now.
Really?
Well, it's technology.
And I mean, okay, so we're gonna lose some listeners on this one but I have to be honest about my feelings. I mean, you know, maybe it is my issue, but I'm not comfortable around homophobes.
And I have to completely avoid downtown when they have those parades.
Oh God.
I know.
Homophobe pride. What are you being proud about, really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, just.
And it's weird, too, because homophobe parades, you have to have a contingent of homosexuals there for them to be phobic of.
Yeah, right.
Or else it doesn't really, you know, register.
And
so it becomes weird.
They make this big show of it, and then they wonder why some people just
Are
so open about not liking them. It's like, you know, you just shove it in people's faces all the time.
Exactly.
No wonder.
You know? But I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those ones who like wants to kill all homophobes or, you know, things
right,
like
that. Right,
I don't know if I believe homophobia is a choice. You might be born with it. I don't know. I'm not opposed to that. Like, I want them to lead fulfilling lives. They just creep me out.
And to be, you know, to be upfront and fair here, I know you like me, we don't really support those people that protest at homophobe.
No. That's just rude.
Terrible.
They're still people.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So there's no need to do that.
Yeah. It's good to live in a town that's relatively homophobe. There's a fairly small homophobe percentage in town. It's nice. I hear that there are other cities where they're like you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a homophobe, and that's just got to be creepy.
Yeah.
Or the cities where there's like a district, you know, there's like
the
homophobe part of town.
Right.
Has all the shops that cater specifically to homophobes and
right,
stuff like
right,
that.
Right. Right. But I hear you.
They say it's good for the economy, but
yeah,
you know.
And I hear you can get good coffee there.
I don't even know what that means. Those homophobes, they make great coffee.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell them, like, wait, what? Beans? Why? Oh. That's tonight's episode. Those homophobes, they make great coffee.
I'm just glad I'm not the one who cracked up first. I was trying to figure
out
who
that would
be. Well,
you caught me with the side, out of left field there. Yeah. Well, that was like 15 minutes that we'll never get back. Okay, it was fun though, so fuck it. Hat? Time for hat?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
20 minutes a hat.
Oh my goodness.
See?
This is William. He thinks we can get through like five questions.
It's going to get back to us on this.
Do you know that somehow one of the old Agitalin questions is now in the back of my car? I don't know why. Like, the card is there. It's kind of creeping me out.
This comes from the magical riding waffle.
Oh, that's such a weird image. I want to see that, like the clip art for that.
I know who wrote this, I think.
I think I might too.
Will there ever be a The Magical Talking Hat short film? Oh. I'm not sure what it would be like. I don't know. I mean, you really couldn't do it without showing the hat. And the longer we do this, the more I think, I don't know if we should ever
let people see. And also, the hat. What would happen? The hat doesn't talk. The hat does check email, but in a magical way. It's not like it sits in front of a laptop.
It could be an origin story type film.
Yeah.
But then...
See, you're the filmmaker. You have to find some clever way that we never actually show the hat the whole time. It's a whole elaborate story. It is the central character, and you never see it. Maybe it's like all through the hat's eyes or something like that, you know? Because it does have eyes. Have you looked on this? Under the brim here, there's like seven eyeballs, and they move around. It's creepy.
I'm not going to look at that. Don't make me look at that.
But yeah, that's how you do it.
There could be. I don't know how to answer your question. I suppose it's possible we could come up with something, but...
I want to see a film about a waffle that writes. No,
the Magical Writing Waffle. this person who I'm sure wrote this usually listens and will say something about the broadcast when I see this person.
And also usually does our sound and editing for our short films. So.
That's right.
If we do it, Waffle, we'll let you know.
That's right.
We'll be coming to you for editing help.
We hope you're not just a magical writing waffle, but a magical
sound editing
post-production waffle.
The magical post-production waffle. That sounds like a terrible podcast. Okay, next question.
Yes, if the answer to that one is affirmative, you'll be the first to know.
Well, third.
Or so.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh! Now, this one is from Kia. But I don't know which Kia. I don't know.
It doesn't say Kia B, so...
This is from Kia X.
Okay.
I don't know which Kia. Possibly Kia B. All right. Dear the Magical Talking Hat, if Tony's cats were to get their own Facebook pages, which cat should I become a fan of first?
Well, Ezzy, of course.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
In general, Ezzy's webpage is likely to be more interesting and more active.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. For those of you who are sort of into ironic humor, because the thing is, Twiglet's page would be like mine, so it'd be kind of boring. In fact, in a lot of ways, Twiglet's just the feline version of me. You know, he's fat, he's lazy, he's nice as long as it doesn't take any effort, and then he gets pissy.
But more importantly, she's the one who's been on the show.
Yes. No, but here's the thing. If Grey Boy gets a site, it's largely just going to be him bitching about things. And that could be really... It could turn into a shit my dad says kind of thing.
Except Grey Boy.
Exactly. Shit that Grey Boy says. And it's not going to be presented as comedy, but you could find it funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's possible. But no, in general, like, Ezzy would be more involved and she'd be posting all the time and sharing links and clips and stuff like that. So yeah, Ezzy is the best choice for that, and probably the most likely one to actually do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Still not very likely.
No.
Because there's no thumbs.
Yeah.
But more likely than the other two.
I'd have to agree on that one.
So it's a low scale of cats creating their own Facebook pages, but on that fairly low end scale, she's near the top.
Yeah, near the top.
So
agreed.
Congratulations.
Agreed.
Thank you, Strange Kia, for...
Whichever one it was.
Yes. We are kind of cruising through these.
Cruising? I mean, we've got 15 minutes left already.
Oh, my goodness. We've got 15 minutes left already. That's the weirdest thing I've heard.
All right, fine. Shut up. Dear TMTH.
Teenage Mutant... Wait.
This is by Craig.
Craig Duffy. From... Scotland, who still listens. He made a comment on the blog the other day. So Craig from Scotland is still listening.
Not Craig Ferguson. Craig Kilburn or Craig.
Isn't Craig Kilburn dead or something? Oh, speaking of which.
He is?
No, he's not. Oh. But speaking of which, rest in peace, Steve Jobs. We're not using your computer tonight, but you were a big deal.
Yep.
You were a very big deal on the world. Congratulations. Okay, back to Craig's thing.
Superman versus Batman, discuss.
That is interesting, because we've already been discussing Batman.
Kind of.
Well, they've done this, haven't they? In comics?
Yeah.
And it's always the stupidest thing in the world. Because unless Bruce is preparing months in advance and making batarangs out of kryptonite, where is the challenge? How did it last more than one splash page in which Superman actually grabs Batman's big toe from the inside and pulls it out his mouth?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much, it's kind of that way, either way you look at it. Either Batman won't have any kryptonite and he'll just be crushed.
Yes.
Or Batman will have kryptonite, and that pretty much does it for Superman too, when you think about it. I mean,
yes. So, but neither of them tends to kill, so it'll get really boring.
Well, but usually when they're up against one another, it's because something, you know, one of them is possessed with a, I don't know how it happens, but like an alien entity or whatever. You know, they, like, I think one time Superman, like, Poison Ivy kissed him or something, and so he was under her spell. Oh. And
see, I always assume it's one of these where the morality is murky, and so they're on different sides.
Well, I suppose that's, like, I suppose
I
that's,
don't want to kill you, but I will if I have to save these children. But these children are illegal immigrants. We have to stop them.
I suppose
they're taking our jobs.
I suppose that's happened. You're thinking mostly, I think, of like Dark Knight Returns or something like that. I think that's.
Did he fight Spider?
I think
that guy with the cape and the S.
Superman
did he fight
and
them
Batman were at odds with each other in that, weren't they?
I don't remember.
Maybe
Superman
I don't remember
being
very
in
well.
I read it in seventh grade, so.
Well, anyway, the most recent ones I've seen, one of them is crazy for some reason. It's not that they just find themselves on different sides of the law or whatever. And actually, there's a really recent story has Batman sort of pitted against Wonder Woman, and that is a situation where they're kind of on, you know, she's protecting some woman who's murdered somebody, and so he's, you know, she murdered somebody, I gotta take her in, but Wonder Woman is protecting her for some other reason, and of course the battle between those two is, like you said, it's nothing. She just basically, you know, knocks him down, puts her foot on his head and says, hey, leave, and he has to, so.
And that's gotta be way less than Superman, because Superman just, if he is not winning a fight, he will make up new powers on the spot. Oh, by the way, my fingernails give you AIDS now. You know, like
most of the.
Did you know that Superman's fingernails will give you AIDS?
I'm trying to forget you said it. most of the debate between, you know, Batman fans and Superman fans has to do with the fact that, well, Batman is so much smarter than Superman, and will prove every time that it's more about wits than it is about strength, and that's why he will beat Superman in any fight. And they would even insist that it's not just about kryptonite or whatever. It's, you know, he's smart enough, he's clever enough, he could trap Superman or trick Superman, do other things. He would never just go up, you know, without any kryptonite just to have a fist fight with Superman. He's not that stupid. And he would defeat him some other way. Of course, the Superman people say, well, that's just dumb, because Superman can just, he can break without kryptonite against him. You know, he can bust out of any cage. There's no way Batman could possibly beat him without kryptonite.
Shoot his fingernails, give Batman AIDS. Whatever. The shoot out of his fingers.
I have to agree that. I mean, Batman is clever, and I'm all for, you know, wits over brawn or whatever. But you pretty much have to have kryptonite if you're gonna defeat Superman.
Also, they're both basically kind of sucky superheroes.
Well, what do you mean?
Weak. They're so, to me, well, okay, Superman is two-dimensional. Superman is a construction paper cutout of God, basically. So,
well,
really boring and really shallow and completely invulnerable.
Yeah, but he's not omniscient. I mean, he's not completely invulnerable. I mean, he has lots of weaknesses besides kryptonite. You know?
Like what?
Like Lois Lane, for example. You know.
That's a shitty ass weakness.
Well, I'm just saying, he I wouldn't say he's two dimensional. I would say that, you know, he does represent
and there's never any issue of challenge. Either he can give you AIDS with his fingernails and then breathe on you and you turn into subatomic particles, or you totally got him by the short hairs because of kryptonite or Lois or I don't know what else. Yoo-hoo.
Ovaltine. I think you're too harshly judging
Superman. I think Superman and his personality is the most boring thing in the world. And Batman is an asshole.
Well,
and he's not that bright. He might be bright in comic book superhero terms, but he's really no. He eventually will come up with a plan, but that's only after he's been thwarted by the other guy's plan like 4 times. Seriously, any Batman adventure starts by him getting bamboozled at least 4 times, and then he wins the last one. But because it's the last one, that means he wins. And it's never one of these like, haha, I let you think I'd been bamboozled 4 times. No, he's always that stupid. And then the giant computer in the cave spits out something, and he's like, of course, sodium! And then, you know.
I think you're being way too hard.
And it always ends with him screaming, you killed my parents! And then he comes back and it's not there at all.
You're just doing this because you know I'm a DC fan and I like Superman.
I like a lot of DC. Those two are not them.
Okay.
Like, give me...
That's fine.
Give me Green Lantern. Give me... Okay, mostly Green Lantern. give me any of the non... runtime, like a Vertigo stuff is awesome, yeah, but a lot of DC superheroes. Also, I was raised on the Super Friends. That does not endear you to DC superheroes.
No, probably not.
And, oh my god.
And Adam West's Batman doesn't endear you to Batman either. Not most people. I don't really have a problem
with Adam West. Most Batman products don't endear you to Batman. Most films and TV shows and.
Whatever.
The comics might, but that's the thing. Most of my Batman experience is everything except comics.
Well, I think the Batman comics and the Superman comics they're not two-dimensional, I don't think.
Some of the later TV shows of Batman were good. Some of the later animated ones, but anyway. Thanks, Craig, for ripping this family apart.
Should we draw something
else? You know what just made me think of something? There was, during the time period where they were making a bunch of spoof movies with, like, Leslie Nielsen in them and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there was this one called Loaded Weapon 1 that was a spoof on all the buddy cop movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing, it had Emilio Estevez in it, and the only thing I remember is he comes to these people's house and Samuel L. Jackson is there, and he says, you want some coffee? And the wife says, oh, no, he was abused as a child. And Samuel L. Jackson goes, oh, so no coffee then. And then they go on with the scene.
Well, then you understand my coffee
comment. Exactly. Now it all, is full circle.
Now okay. You understand.
Have we got time for another?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we do. See, we're still able to do at least 4.
There we go.
Complaining about how long we took. Is this yours or mine? 3-4 years.
Yeah. You're odd.
I'm odd.
This appears... Well, awesome. This is a self-referential question left anonymously.
Oh. So how are we going to know?
Exactly. Here we go. Dear Hat, have you realized that Tony and William are the Daffy Duck and Porky Pig of our generation? So apparently, the questioner believes to be itself roughly the same age as the Hat. Because that would be our. And the Hat, we feel, is many centuries old.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't work at all.
Who's Daffy Duck?
That's what I want to know. Which one is Daffy Duck? No, well,
Because Porky Pig's the straight man, yeah?
Generally.
Wouldn't I be the straight man? Am I wrong, or did we happen to draw 2 questions that actually come from the same card?
Ooh. Further mysteries.
That's weird. What I'm saying here is that as you've been told many times by Tony that the questions that we pull out of the hat are on these 3x5 index cards that are cut or torn in half. And we happen to draw 2 randomly that look like they actually go together.
And each of us drew one of those questions.
Yeah.
It's Kia's question and Craig's question.
So we don't even know how the hat produces these cards or tears them
off. It probably means the hat is running low on 3x5 cards and needs to go shopping.
But there's plenty of cards in there. I could feel them. And here that we just drew these two randomly and they fit together. They are the same card. That's really weird.
Well, until you think about it for a while, and then it's not that much weird anymore. But anyway, so you're Porky Pig?
I would have to be.
I think I have a bigger speech impediment, though, in the process.
I don't think it's about speech impediments. I think it's about role, you know, in the whole... You know, Daffy's the one that, you know, except for this one where you're complaining about how much I talk, Daffy's the one that's talking all the time. And
yeah, but most of what you say is bidi, 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 so it's okay.
So that would be...
Yes. Buddy, buddy. Metropolis.
Tony and William are the Daffy Duck and Porky Pig for a generation.
Well, you, anonymous questioner, are despicable.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'd rather be Porky Pig than say. I guess I wouldn't rather be Porky Pig. Maybe I'd.
Would you rather be Daffy?
No. Well. I'm actually a
Daffy
huge...
Daffy has a certain amoral quality.
Yeah, I'm actually a huge Daffy Duck fan, as a matter of fact.
Now, you're a fan of his cartoons, or you're a fan of the character?
Both.
What about Daffy Duck do you admire so heavily?
Well, I it's not that I admire the character as far as...
How have you patterned your life after the life of Daffy Duck?
But I think...
Why is there a Duck Dodgers poster hanging above your bed?
Now, I would have a Duck Dodgers poster hanging above my
bed. But it's like on the ceiling above your bed. It's kind of creepy.
No. I just think the Warner Brothers cartoons with Daffy Duck in them are the funniest. Even, you know, I do like Bugs Bunny, of course, but you know, when Daffy's with Bugs, it's funny. When he's with Porky Pig, it's funny. In his earlier stuff where he's this really crazy, you know, bird and everybody's the straight man next to him, he's funny. He's always funny to me.
He's the Batman of the Warner Brothers cartoons, and Bugs Bunny is the Superman of
I suppose.
Warner Brothers cartoons, which means Elmer Fudd is...
I don't know. Lex Luthor?
I was wondering
Bald.
That.
He's kind of an enemy to both recently, you know, because Lex is, of course, Superman's enemy.
Arch-nemesis, yes.
But after No Man's Land and stuff, and Lex
after that.
And Lex was cleaning up Gotham City, you know, he and Bruce Wayne and Batman were kind of enemies there for a while, so, you know, maybe.
Of course.
Shut up.
So then Porky Pig is Robin?
Yeah, well, I guess so.
Which means you're Robin and I'm Batman.
You know, that's true. Sometimes Porky Pig is... sort of the site, like in the ones where, like the one where Daffy was a cowboy and his sidekick was Porky Pig.
And in Duck Dodgers.
And in Duck Dodgers.
And in Robin Hood ones.
Oh, wait. But see, in those, I think I would be Daffy Duck. Because Daffy's kind of, you know, but Porky's the smart one who's got the one-liners all the time while Daffy's doing all the talking and being stupid. See? So that would be... I'm Daffy in those situations, and you're Porky.
No, because I usually do most of the talking and being stupid, and you got the one about the homophobes in the coffee. So
that never happens. I'm always the first one to crack up.
Yeah, but that's just your speech impediment.
You know, back in the jazz era, they used to have people play like piano together to see who the best piano player was, and. Or play saxophone together to see who the best saxophone player was. And here we are. We're kind of going back.
Podcasting duel.
Yeah, to see who's going to crack up first. And I always lose. I always do. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah,
anonymous.
But I usually cheat. I usually throw some bit of genitalia in there, skidology
yeah,
or something.
That's true. Thank you, Anonymous, Craig, Kia, and Waffle.
Wait. Thank you, Anonymous, Craig, Kia, and Waffle.
Right.
Sounded like you were saying Anonymous Craig, Kia, and Waffle.
Not one person.
With the Oxford comma, you get strippers, Kennedy, and Stalin. Without the Oxford comma, you get strippers, Kennedy, and Stalin.
Incidentally, if you'd like to submit a question or comment with brevity to the hat, what would they do, Tony?
Wish upon the first star they see. No! Email the hat! What makes it magical? It has its own email address. Email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
And if you would like to say something insulting or even pleasant about the broadcast you're listening to,
there's
right
the first
now,
time for anything.
Yeah.
Then you can go to the blog and comment on the various episodes. The blog is at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Lots of people that come there. Mark McKibben, hard hat number one, shows up there. Kia B shows up there sometimes. Blood Sparrow, who is also Michelle, by the way. I've officially been given permission to say those two are the same people. They show up there. Craig showed up there recently. Azure Talon shows up there to accuse us of being homophobophobes, of which we are. It's so good to get that off my chest.
I know.
Now I can drink coffee again. also, Facebook, people. What is the deal with Facebook? No. The hat has a Facebook page. You can like it. Just recently, Ruth likes the Facebook page, which I hope means Ruth is listening. Hi, Ruth. Thank you very much. You've set a new record. We now have 35 people liking the hat. I do not know what percentage of those actually listen.
And you can share whenever you see Facebook update the Facebook feed. If you like the page, then you should be getting a little thing that shows you when this shows up. You can share it with some of your friends.
Absolutely.
You think
absolutely.
Well, no, don't share with friends you think will like it. Share it with friends that you don't like, because
yes,
that's
spread really the suffering around.
Yeah.
You know, really, your life sucks.
Yeah.
Why should others get off? Really?
Why should you be the only one subjected to this? Think of how happy those
you've
people
earned
are.
This. Remember that guy you had to help the other day who was a real jerk?
Yeah.
You know what? This is for him.
Yeah.
Pass this on to some dickweed that could really use a couple episodes, if you know what I mean.
And think about right now how happy those people are while you're listening and miserable.
Exactly.
Doesn't that make you feel angry? Well, do something about it.
Absolutely. Only you can prevent happy people.
And you know, I know it's a big hassle to go out and camp out on Wall Street or whatever, but this is simple. You just press a button.
I'm still confused by that. Not by you, by them. I still haven't worked it out yet.
And drink coffee proudly, by God. I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, they're... I think you got the best of me in this episode.
Whatever.
Overall. I think you win episode 30. So the score now, people, is I'm 29-1. There we go.
All right, we're done.
All right.
An hour and three
Have
minutes.
Have a good week.
We went over. Have a good week.
Next
disregard
week,
whatever.
Disregard last hour. And next week I'll have my revenge.
You're not really mad, are you?
Wait and see once we're off to air.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.